for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, December the 26th, 1989. Midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the speaker of the morning. Well, praise the Lord for the praise and worship and the songs of the Lord. Amen. Well, let's see. Irma, I got you out of this back over here. Okay.
Well, I know a lot of you are disappointed. Yeah. I'm not Chuck Flynn.
You're
and,
not supposed to be.
And I'm not David Osler. And all these theologians will be in here this afternoon and tonight. But Jesus is here today. Now, how many came to meet Jesus? How many come to be changed this morning? Good. We don't look to man. We look unto God. And I tried to get out of this and every which way on that phone. I've been having to take care of it while Patty was up here with these songs. And I had every kind of phone call that you could ever believe call in about emptying their sewer trailers and wanting a place to park and all this. The phone was very, very busy. But I'm telling you, the Lord is here. And where the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty. Last night during that service, I thought that James Clough really had a good message. As a layman, he had a wonderful message for all of us. And while they were singing last night, there was a tremendous anointing here, and the Lord began to talk to me about something, and then Glenn, he springs this on me, well, you'll have to talk this morning, because he talked last night, and Brother Walker was here yesterday, and so anyway, here I am. And I'll tell you what the Lord was speaking to me about. Now, a lot of times, I will feel the anointing come upon me during the music, during the singing, for 14 days and write it all out. So here I am. What you see is what you're going to get. Turn to Acts 2. You may think, well, this is playpen business. We've all been through all this. But I would like to know how many here can honestly say, without a shadow of a doubt, that you believe that you're totally filled with the Spirit today. I mean, totally filled with the Spirit. Now, see, if we were, every one of us were totally filled with the Spirit, we'd all know it. I mean, if there was one person in here that was totally filled with the Spirit. Because when Jesus walked in, the demons knew about him immediately, and they began to cry out, didn't they? So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about being filled with the Spirit. And we'll see what the Lord is going to do. I'm going to read the first verse, just part of it. Well, I'm going to read the whole thing. And when, Acts 2 and 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. You know, it's a miracle that they all were one in one accord. I'm sure everybody in here is not in one accord. We're not all in one accord, are we? You can't even get three people in one accord. You can hardly get a husband and wife in one accord, can you? So this is a real miraculous service because there was 120 of them and they were all in one accord. Now, why do you think they were all in one accord? I asked the Lord, how could they all be in one accord? Why? Because they had been through so much. You know, we have it pretty easy. We sing and dance and have a great time and we're all clothed and food and everything. But these people had been through a lot. Because they had planned for Jesus to set up his kingdom, hadn't they? And they were looking toward him, and they didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost before. And he told them all kinds of things that was going to happen, but did they ever hear? And as my mother used to say, listen to me, don't let that go in one ear and out the other. You ever heard, had people? They knew that Jesus, he told them that he was going to have to die, but they didn't really comprehend that. They didn't think it would ever happen. Just like we've been told in the Bible what's going to happen in the last days. He said perilous times are going to come, didn't he? Well, how many get too? We don't get too perturbed about that, do we? We don't think it'll ever happen. And I used to think, when I believed in the rapture, of course we don't anymore, but I used to wonder how many people really believed that the rapture might come today, like they'd get up and tell us. I mean, that's a serious business. Without spot or wrinkle, I used to tell my mother, because my mother and dad were ministers, I used to tell them, I was about 15, you know, smart teenager, knew a lot, thought I did. But I would tell my mother, she'd say, you better be careful about that, because if the rapture comes today, you probably won't go. I said, well, I don't know anybody in our church that's going. Because there's nobody without spot or wrinkle in this church of ours. And of course, that would upset her. But I'm telling you, we have a fur piece yet to go. We go so far, and we think we're just arrived. We haven't arrived. We haven't even begun to arrive. Do you know that? We have not begun to arrive to even the thought of perilous times. We haven't heard that. We're not concerned at all about it. But these people were all in one accord. Now, let's go back a little bit and see what all they had been through. Now, Jesus chose the disciples, didn't he? And they were pretty much of a motley crew, like all of us. You know, they were really no, they were just people, lay people, weren't they? Fishermen and all of that. And he taught them every day. Can you imagine just walking right with Jesus every day and having him teach us? Well, really, he teaches us every day by the Spirit, doesn't he? But we don't always listen. But he was run out of town when he cast the spirits into the hogs, and they all drowned. He was run out of the county. They didn't want him there. When he went in the synagogue, what happened? The Pharisees, they just were aghast at him. That's hypocrisy. They were hypocrites, really, and they hated Jesus, and he had a hard time with them. He had a little bit of a hard time with Peter, because Peter was always mouthy and talking when he should have been listening. And when he told Peter, he said, now, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, I am not. I wouldn't think of that. Isn't that what he said? He said, no. And Jesus said, well, the rooster's going to crow, and you're going to deny me. And Peter didn't even he didn't believe that at all. Because, you see, they didn't believe. And unbelief is a great problem in the body of Christ. I'm always harping on that, and I'm always working on that. If people say, well, I don't have any demons, you think I have any demons, I always ask them, well, is all things possible to you? The Bible says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. We'd be walking in the hospital. We had a call this morning. Two people at Trinity Church, they called about 7 o'clock, and two people are dying of cancer. Now, if we were totally filled with the Spirit, we would go up there and they would be healed, right? I mean, we've got to get down to ditty-gritty where the rubber meets the road and look at our own selves and see how much of the Holy Spirit we really do have in us. How much of Jesus do we really have in us? How effective are we? And then, I think one of the worst things of all, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, I think this is one of the worst things that happened to Jesus when he depended on his inner circle, Peter, James, and John, to stay awake and to pray, and they all slept. Don't you think that's pretty serious? Now, all these people had gone through all that. And then he had Judas there, who was a devil. He carried the money. That makes a little sense. And he was crucified because Jesus turned him in. Of course, it was already destined. Judas turned him in, and it was already destined for Judas to do that. Sometimes you want to feel sorry for Judas. If you get into predestination, that's another big subject that the theologians will argue about. But Judas had betrayed Jesus, and he was part of the 12. Now, that's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? For Jesus, even. And, of course, Peter cut off the man's ear. And he had Mary Magdalene along with him. She had had 7 devils in her. In my land, 7 devils. That's pretty bad. And they had been through a lot. And so when you've been through a lot, well, they had the crowds. They had 5,000 people at meetings all the time, didn't they? Those big meetings. And then when they come down to the day of Pentecost, there was only 120 of them. But they were all in one accord. And the Lord just showed me that it was because they had been through so much. Now, if a little tribulation hits around here, everybody hits the altar. I'll never forget the earthquake in California in 72. We went to church the next morning, and Bob Mumford was out there preaching at the chapel in the canyon, and Chuck Flynn. And that whole place was full of people. And they were throwing cigarettes. You know, nice people, nice women that we thought were really good Christians. They were throwing cigarettes at the altar, and they were crying out, and they were scared to death. And the tremors were coming, the chandeliers were waving, and Bob Mumford was preaching away, and we kept having those quakes. But we were pretty much all in one accord that day, because we were in trouble. Our lives were in danger. We needed safety. We needed Jesus. But then about a few weeks later, everybody had forgotten that, and they didn't even come back to church anymore. The chapel in the canyon had a few people at the prayer group. And we're all sort of like that, aren't we? We don't really pray hard. We don't really intercede hard until problems come. And problems do come. So here they are. They're all in one accord and in this one place, 120 of them. Now, Jesus had, and here's another terrible thing that happened to him, because he was raised from the dead, and they thought they were going to have him, and they had him for 40 days. He walked around on the earth and appeared to him, and then all of a sudden he was out there on that mount, and he said, I'm going to go away. And that was just heartbreaking for them. But they went in there, and they did, for once they did, what he told them to do. He told them to go and tarry and wait, didn't they? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there suddenly came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. You know, I'm so glad that it talks about this wind, because the Holy Spirit comes as wind and the evil spirits come as wind. Now, Patty was accusing me this morning. She said, I said, I'm not going to speak on deliverance. And she said, well, you will before you end. Well, I'm trying not to. But evil spirits come out as wind, and the Holy Spirit comes in as wind. And it's so simple. We make everything so difficult. Jesus made everything so simple. There was nothing. And I'll never forget, I think it was 2 years ago, or maybe a little longer, the whole Catholic diocese of now when I say the word Catholic, I hope you all don't brace yourself and get just doubled up, but they come here and brought their youth Monday through Friday. Well, they arrived on Sunday afternoon, about 4:30, and we were going to have dinner for them. And there was about, and we were up at the house, and we come down when they all showed up, and Glenn was going to talk to them, tell them we don't throw rocks and we don't do all this here. And there was a big group of them. I suppose, wasn't there 100 and some young people, leaders in the Catholic diocese? Well, I said to the head woman, well, we wanted to talk to them, and I see there some of them are walking toward the lake, and she said, well, they say they're going to go have a prayer meeting down on the bridge. And I thought a minute, and I said, well, that won't hurt them, will it? And she said, oh, I guess not. So we come to find out they were the network team out of St. Paul, and they had come to tell the people, the diocese here, about the Holy Ghost. And we had to go away the next morning, and there was two priests and a lady that was sort of the head of them. And she wasn't a nun, but she was a coordinator. And we went away. We had to go to a convention, and we didn't come back till Wednesday. So, but the first time, when they came in, just before they ate, they were singing, and they were singing like these girls were singing, playing courses, you know, like we all know. I was in the kitchen helping with the dinner, and I said, you know, the Holy Spirit just leaped within me when I heard them sing. I said, they must have the Holy Ghost. Well, I didn't dare come out and ask them right then, and they had some powerful meetings. Well, when we come home Wednesday, the young priest ran out to the car, and he said to me, do you know what happened? And I said, no. I'm thinking that probably somebody drowned at the lake or something happened, you know, bad. He said, I said, what happened? He said, well, all the fellows were up in that room up there, up in that upper room. And he said the network team was talking to us, and all of a sudden a mighty wind came in and knocked us all to the floor. And he said, and then they began to speak in languages that he said I couldn't understand. He said, "Do you know anything about that?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Really?" And she said, "Well, isn't it wonderful?" I said, "Yes, it's wonderful." He said, "Do you do it?" I said, "Sure, since I was a little girl." He said, "Really? That's the first time they ever heard. First time they ever heard about it. And that wind." And I was so glad I knew about this scripture. Because, you know, you might be a little leery about something strange like that if it wasn't in the Bible. But that's in the Bible. Before that meeting ended, and I hadn't even thought about talking to us about this, but before the meeting ended, the last night, I wish I'd have stayed over here, but I went home because I was tired. And the wind of the Holy Ghost hit the whole congregation. And a lot of them were laying out on the floor, praying in tongues, laughing. And the priest said to Glenn, what are we supposed to do with these people? And Glenn said, well, it was getting about midnight. Glenn was wanting to go to bed, too. Glenn said, well, just carry them upstairs and put them in their bed, and they'll be all right tomorrow morning. So you see, the Holy Spirit can work any way and to whomever he wants to give the Holy Spirit to. And if he wants to come as wind in here this morning and knock us all to the floor, praise God. Are you for that, Linda? Amen. We need more of the Holy Ghost. We don't need to be so churchy and just go to church and have three or four songs and the announcements and the offering and then preach without really having the move of the Holy Spirit. I like to feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. All. Look at that word, all. All. All of them. Why? Because they were all in one accord. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Pay attention to this word filled this morning. We're going to go into that. With the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there are lots of people who come here and they are hindered. They don't have a real fluency of the tongues, of tongues. And they're intimidated by it because they hear people rattling off in tongues all the time, you know, and they can't do it and they don't know what's wrong with them. And I was like that. My dad had divers tongues. I mean, he could talk in tongues so loud. And I grew up with that. I had the Holy Spirit. I could pray in tongues, but it was pretty minor. You know, I didn't know if I really had it or not. And the enemy just loves to come and talk to you and say, you don't really have it because you're not praying in tongues like so-and-so. How many have had that experience of letting that unbelief come in that they don't really have the true thing? And I think so many times that we don't really pray people through to a higher realm. They get a little bit. And it's more than tongues. The Holy Spirit is more than just tongues. It's a filling. Filling totally. And I would like myself to be totally filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I can handle that power or not. I guess not many of us could. But I would like to walk in there for a few days and just feel that anointing and that blessed fire of the Spirit just moving through my bones. And now and then it'll come to me like that. I don't know how to get it, and I don't know why it turns off. But when that happens, and I'm praying, things really happen. I mean, the Lord really moves. And I know it's the Holy Spirit moving, and it's something that we can press toward and ask the Lord to really pour into us. How many are hungry for more than what you've got? We want more, so we have this power to heal the sick. There are so many people that are sick. We get these calls all the time. A lot of people get healed, but a lot of people don't. But I think it's because we are not, we used to call it, we're not really prayed up. How many hear that expression now? We're not really prayed up. And Jim Clapp was talking to me afterwards last night, and he said that he had been pondering and the Holy Spirit had been bringing to him the cares of this world. happened that how many feel that we have too many cares? And I was thinking about when I was a girl, back in the Depression days, we didn't have washing machines. I didn't have a nice washing machine. We had a boiler that we boiled the water and drew the water out of the well with a bucket and ironed baskets of clothes with flat irons and all that stuff. But yet we always had time to read our Bible and pray. Nowadays, I have a washing machine. I have a new washing machine, and it's so wonderful. It's got a fast cycle on it, and it's got a gentle cycle on it, and it's got a slow cycle on it. So you can push any button you want. And I was thinking, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful for this new washer that is so wonderful. It'll go right through something really fast if you're in a hurry. And I was thinking back in the days when my mother used to have to wash on the board and my dad wore white shirts and my brother wore white duck pants and had to be ironed and they all, you know, and yet we had time. But nowadays, it seems like nobody has enough time. Are you all with me? We're always rushed. We're always rushing around doing something. And we don't have enough time for the Lord, to meet with the Lord in our private closet. I am in the habit of waking up in the middle of the night. That's my favorite time, I guess. So the Lord must think that's my only time he can get me quiet. And I pray a lot in the middle of the night from about 3 o'clock on until about time to get up, and then I fall asleep. But then I have to get up. Ruthie knows about that. But I'm telling you, I think we need to take some of these things that we pass up more serious. We wouldn't need so much prayer if we did a little more ourselves. We wouldn't need so much help from other people if we read the Bible more. The Bible cleanses you. The Bible is a tremendous thing when you start looking into it. You find things every day. We have lots of Bibles, but you can read the Bible every day and see something new. And you maybe have read the same thing over and over. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just brings it to you. And that feeds your soul. It feeds your spirit. And all of this was noised abroad. And the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now we're going to go over to Ephesians. Ephesians 5. I was hoping you'd sing this chorus, but I never did get time to come up here and ask you to sing it. Ephesians 5 and 18. And Paul is admonishing them, and he says, "Be not drunk with wine." Well, I hope not, because there's no winos around here. "But be filled with the Spirit." Now, that's a direct command, isn't it? Be filled with the Spirit. So when we're not totally filled with the Spirit, we need to do some repenting about that, because that is, we're not keeping the Word of God. A lot of people say, "Well, I keep the Word of God, I do. But are we always filled with the Spirit? And I ask myself, I mean, I'm talking to myself, because I think it's serious. And I didn't think about it being so serious until last night when the Lord started speaking to me about this, to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what was happening last night when this came to me. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, you can sing. I hear Patty, she runs that computer all the time. But I'll hear her humming. And maybe all day long she'll be humming. Just quietly humming. But she's running the computer. And the Spirit is just praying in her. And humming. And I do that too. You can sit in a service and somebody else can be preaching and you can be praying in the Spirit all the time. And you don't have to open your mouth to do it. Your Spirit is praying and maybe helping the speaker. If everybody in here was praying in the Spirit when they came in, and the meetings would be much better. Now, we have wonderful meetings. I'm not degrading that. But we need to come in an attitude of prayer and allow the Holy Spirit. No matter if we're talking to somebody, the Holy Spirit can keep on communicating with the Lord. Giving thanks always. I think we're so far behind on our thanking the Lord for what we have, for how the freedom we have in America. No, we don't really appreciate it. We don't appreciate that we have heat and clothing and a roof. And when you think about those poor people in Romania that going through all this terrible bloodbath, you know, and we don't have to worry about guns around here. Hopefully we don't. And we don't have to worry about somebody coming in, the police coming in and taking us all captive, or the hostages that are coming in and are taking us all hostages. We don't have to worry about that. So we should be praying more. We should be thanking more, thanking Jesus more for what we really have, because there may come a day that we'll wish we had thanked him more. Giving thanks always. That's always. What is always? That's all the time. All the time. And half the time, we're grumbling about what we don't have when we already have. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. I thank him for salvation. I really do. I thank him. You know, we could be living on Skid Row as drunks or something. And he chose. He came and he chose us. He drew us by the Spirit and we were saved. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, nobody wants to submit to anybody else, really. Wives, we don't like to submit to our husbands. Do we? Do we, Glenn? Well, I'm just telling the truth, you know. Stop telling me what to do all the time. You know, that's what I'm my saying. Stop telling me what to do. Well, what am I going to wear? I don't know. Go in there and get it yourself. See, you know, we have that attitude. That isn't right. Glenn wants me to tell him what to wear. So I do. I submit after I say a few words. But it says submitting yourselves in the fear of God. I think in Christianity today, we have very little fear of God. Reverential fear of God. And that is one of the seven spirits of God. That is the very first one. The fear of the Lord. One of the seven spirits of God. And that is the fullness of the Spirit. When the seven spirits of God are totally on us and we have it all, that will be the fullness of the Lord. The fear of God. All wisdom. We don't have all wisdom. We all have some wisdom, I hope. All knowledge. We don't have that. We need all knowledge. Knowledge is what? Knowledge is truth. It doesn't mean how many degrees you got or how many DDs you got in front of your name. No, that's not what it means. It means the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of the Spirit. Submitting yourselves one to another. Now, here it is. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Unto your own husbands, not to another man, not to a preacher. You don't have to submit to a preacher. Your own husbands, it says, as unto the Lord. Who's saying amen back there? Oh, Irma is saying amen. Bless you. Bless you. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wow. Well, we all need help with that. All we wives, don't we? In everything. In everything. Husbands, love your wives. Hey, now you're going to hear this. Even as Christ loves the church. And Brother Hammond, when he taught this once, he said, if you husbands don't love your wives like Christ loves you, I'll feel sorry for you because the Lord's going to get you. And that is the obligation of the husband, is to love his wife. And that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now we're going to go to something else. We're going to Romans. Romans 15. And pretty soon we're going to pray and ask the Lord to fill us totally with the Spirit. Romans 15 and 13. Now the God of hope. You got it all? You got it? Romans 15, 13, 14. Now, the God of hope, she talked about hope. Brendan talked about hope this morning. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace in believing. Now, if we don't have joy and we don't have peace, we're not going to be very good believing, are we? When you're unhappy and you don't have any joy, and you don't have any peace, man, you don't want to believe You can't believe anything, Harvey. That ye may abound in hope, here's his hope again, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now, that could be pretty serious about admonishing one another, couldn't it? But it says if we're all filled with all knowledge, we will be able to admonish one another in love and in peace. Now let's go back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians again. Ephesians 3 and 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes up knowledge. The love of Christ, which passes up knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What an experience to be filled with all of the fullness of God. How many seek those things? Do you seek to be filled with all the fullness of God? To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I love this scripture. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now we can ask, the Lord, Lord, do this, Lord, do that. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord Jesus. But above all that we can ask or think about, we can sure think about a lot of things, can't we? We can think about, Lord, help my children. Lord, help my son. Lord, help my grandchildren. Lord, help my husband. Lord, do this. Lord, do that. But he says, I'm able to do abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According, now, here's the key, to the power that's working in us. According to the power of the Holy Spirit, in other words, that's working in us. He's able to do that. That's why when we have all this, we'd be able to walk in the hospital and clear the whole place out. Because if you're full of the whole fullness of God, well, that's a lot of the Lord in us, isn't it? That's a lot of God. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Well, let's go to Colossians now, and 1. Colossians 1 and 9. Colossians 1 and 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease, listen to this, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. A lot of people come to us, they say, we don't know the will of God. We don't know if this is the will of God or not. We don't know if this is the will of God, and they want us to pray. And we pray. We pray for them. But you know, you can pray and ask the Lord through many different ways. Ask him to do it in many different ways to let you know the will of God. If this is really him. If this is really him. When we were going to come here, you know, Glenn had this vision. I wasn't very much for it. But I prayed. Glenn says that's a minor statement. I wasn't for it at all. When he told me it wasn't in California, then I really wasn't for it. And when he told me it was in Arkansas, then I really, really wasn't for it. Of course, he didn't tell me that for several years. It took us 7 years to get here after he had this vision. And I had, without a shadow of a doubt, then I knew that we were supposed to be here. And the Lord has blessed us mightily. But I wanted to know his will, the Lord's will. I don't run off on some vision. You know, we had through Pentecost at one time, people was laying hands on people and telling them who they should marry and everything. That was the most disgraceful abomination that ever existed, because all kinds of people got into terrible bad marriages, and then they'd preach on marriage and divorce, and then, oh my, you know, everybody was in consternation. But you better know the will of God about everything, about opening a business, for instance. Don't just run out and open a business because you'd like to, because you want to. We've seen a lot of failures. We've had a few ourselves in business before we were young. Christian finally learns, you better know the will of God before you start doing anything like that, because there's a lot of shipwrecked people. But that we might be filled again with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to keep increasing our knowledge. Now, some people I think that's only been saved a year knows more than we do that's been saved like 50 years or 60 years. You know? Have you seen people like that? Well, I think it's wonderful. And I think that might be the Lord says He's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. I think a lot of people, if they listen to... Now, I know that you don't have to listen to the old-timers just because I'm one. You don't have to listen to me if you don't want to. You don't have to be filled with the Spirit if you don't want to. But, I mean, we need to listen to the voice of the Lord, and we need to listen to the voice of the Lord coming from other people, the will of God. But then I'm not for running around after prophets. Trying to get a word. We have people all the time. Can you give me a word? You give me a word. Sometimes I feel like saying, I'm not a fortune teller. But you know what I usually say? I say to them, well, begin to read the word of God and He will give you a word. He will give you an answer. You know, there's too many of us, I'm included sometimes, too lazy to pray about something, and we want everybody else to do our praying for us and tell us what to do. And then if it's wrong, man, we're angry and mad at everybody. But we need to right here it says, to find out the will of God. The will of God. We do not cease to pray for you, but Paul was praying for them, and to desire that you might be filled with the wisdom, or with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, a lot of people we counsel, they don't even receive it. They don't pay attention to what we say. They listen, but they just go right back and get back in their old problem again. And they don't want any counseling because they have their mind already made up. They just want to see if you'll agree with them. But I have I've had in the past girls come that wanted to get a divorce. Most of them that come, they had about 3 or 4 little kids running around through the office playing havoc. And I would say to them, well, why do you want a divorce? Well, I want to marry somebody with money. And I want a nice home. And I want this and I want that. And I usually tell them, well, one of my pet things is men are basically all alike. You better keep the one you got that's the father of these children. And I think that's pretty good wisdom. Because the father of the children will probably love them more than any stepdad would. Many of them have not taken counsel, and they've gone out and got a divorce, and then they're whining and crying because the car's broke, and they don't have any money, and they don't know what to do. Well, you know, I can't say, well, I told you so. You can't be ugly. But you know, we learn by other people. I'm glad that Glenn and I have had a lot of experience with various church problems and ministers and early Pentecost, where there was all kinds of horrible things that came through to make everybody of the nice people in town not want to associate with Pentecostal people. In early days, you know, everybody had a mission to start new churches and a building, store buildings. Nowadays, it's all right, I guess, but they seem to be more successful. But then the nice people across the tracks would never come to the meetings, hardly. Very few people, because it wasn't very nice. But I'm telling you that the Lord is in small places as well as big crowds. He says, where 2 or 3 are gathered together, there I am in the midst. And I praise the Lord for that. Let's look at Philippians now, 1 and 11. Maybe we'll start at the 9th verse in the first chapter of Philippians. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You hear that word knowledge this morning? You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to lead anybody to the Lord. And I mean, maybe they've been Christians for years. Or I can't lead anybody through to the Holy Spirit. Well, you need to increase your knowledge in the Lord. that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, there's a scripture that talks about an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. I think we need to pray for an excellent spirit. Let's do it right now. Let's just look to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I ask you to give me an excellent spirit and a sincere spirit. Lord, I ask you to fill me with your knowledge and with your wisdom and with your fear. And I'll fear you in a good sort of way. You see, so many times we entertain fear that comes from the devil. But we need the fear of God. That we will be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. What are the fruits of righteousness? Brother, you tell me, what's the fruits? Fruits of the Spirit, fruits of righteousness. Love, joy, peace, righteousness, that we'll be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And here's another good scripture. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, and in all other places. Now, Paul, he was a big shot type of a lawyer, you could say, at the feet of Gamaliel. And he thought he was doing works for God, didn't he? And he was out trying to kill the Christians, playing havoc with the Christians, until the Lord stopped him and filled him with the Spirit. And then he suddenly changed. Absolutely, he turned around like all of us when we get saved. We should turn around and go the opposite direction toward Jesus instead of going toward the world. And Paul had a tremendous conversion, and he was able to stand even in prison. You think about none of us. How many's ever been in prison around here? And he said that he's talking about his bonds in Christ are manifest, and he was bound with chains, and they sang and they prayed. And Peter was in prison. All these people suffered terrible things. Never suffered. And they didn't have a Bible like we have a Bible. Most people have several Bibles in their house. Now let's go to Psalms way back. I have a new Bible here and it's kind of hard to manipulate. It's not really broke in. Psalms 1 and 26 and 2. Oh, I like this whole chapter. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for every one of us. The Lord hath done great things for every one of us. Praise the Lord. He has done great things. Praise the Lord. He saved us. He's filled us, given us the Holy Spirit. I don't say he's filled us totally, but he wants to. It's not his fault. He's healed us. He's caused us to be able to sit under various ministries that have helped us. He has given us life and strength and joy and peace and righteousness. And we should be the most thankful people. We should be dancing and praising the Lord and singing and never be down in the dumps. We have no reason. We have absolutely no reason to feel depressed, do we? No, we don't. We have no reason to feel discouraged. We have no reason to grumble. We don't have a thing in the world to grumble about, really. We don't. And I think if you feel really bad, I know I can, some days, you know, I'm trying to tell Glenn I'm getting old. He doesn't understand that or believe it. But some mornings I don't want to get up and come over here at 7:45 and stay all day and not go home till 6. I really don't want to do it. I keep telling him I'm too old, and he said, no, you're not. You go, you come on, you're going. And I get up and go. But if I would get up and wake up every morning, but sometimes I say, Lord, you say, let the weak say they're strong. I am strong, Lord. I say that a few times. It's amazing how strong you can get. You don't have to be so namby-pamby and give in to all our feelings of the flesh. We shouldn't be even walking in the flesh. We should be walking in the Spirit all the time. We try to make everybody believe we're walking in the Spirit, but, you know, people can see right through most people. What was that? Let's all say that again. The Lord has done great things. Yes, he has, for every one of us, and we praise him. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Are we glad? We used to sing that little chorus, oh, say I'm glad, oh, say that I'm glad, I'm glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as a... They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. What a marvelous promise that is. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When you get down, you ought to read this. I think it ought to be set to music. Well, I think the Camerons did, didn't they? Seems like... Really? Well, you'll have to sing that for me, because I didn't know that. I have another scripture here, and it's Habakkuk 2:14. Where is Habakkuk in this new Bible? Oh, my. Amos, Obadiah. You think so? Oh, it's coming up. Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Oh, we want Habakkuk. Where is it? Nahum. Habakkuk. Here it is. If you keep going, find it. Habakkuk 2. This is where we're coming to. A lot of people say, oh, do we have to keep going through deliverance? Well, yes, until we get all the bad things out of us, we're going to have to keep going through things. You know, the Bible says that we're what? Boy, that's serious. So the Lord, I don't care if he chastens me, but because I want to be his son, his daughter. For the earth, the second chapter in the 14th verse, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What in the world would that be like? We have no idea, do we? All we can do is just look forward. What? To be filled. Is that word filled again? If you look up filled in the concordance, when the Lord started speaking to me about filled, I had the Youngs. That's for the young Christians. I didn't get that big Strong's out. Patty's laughing. And I had the Youngs, and my name is columns and columns of the word filled. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, what do we do? I've taught, now we're going to have a school about being filled with the Spirit. How many's in for being filled with the Spirit this morning? Is everybody awake? Everybody with me? Everybody against me? Well, praise God for that. We're going to ask the Lord to come down with the anointing, with the Holy Spirit, and to fill us. Totally fill us. We're going to begin to pray to Jesus and ask him. You know, he said, ask and you're going to receive. Now, isn't that pretty simple? He didn't make that all complicated. You have to do this, you have to do that. He just says, ask. So let's just all come into a... Let's all get in one accord, first of all. And we're going to ask him to fill us with the Spirit this morning. Dear Jesus, we ask you simply to fill us with the Spirit. Now we're going to thank him for doing it. Lord, we thank you for filling us with your Spirit. Now we've asked and we thank. Now it's up to us to begin to receive. The anointing's coming down here real strong. Look right at Jesus. He's the giver. He's the one that's going to do it. And we're going to begin to receive. Lord, I am receiving the Holy Spirit. Lord, I am receiving the Holy Spirit. Lord, I am receiving the Holy Spirit. Get serious. Really mean it. Lord, I am receiving the Holy Spirit. Oh, just breathe it in now. He's falling down upon us. The wind of the Lord is blowing through here this morning. Lord, I am receiving the Holy Spirit. 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 Just breathe him in. Breathe him in. Just let the whole breath of the Lord just breathe him in. He says, come to me and drink. Just gulp in the Spirit. Just gulp in the Spirit. Just receive. Drink. Drink from this precious Holy Spirit that's here this morning, this anointing. Just drink in. drink in. When you drink, you don't keep your mouth shut. You breathe in. You gulp it in. Just gulp it in. Jesus breathed on them, didn't he? I saw Derek Prince once just blow on some people, and they all fell out under the power, and about 25 received the Holy Spirit all at once. Lord, we just receive. We receive more of the Holy Spirit than we've ever had before. This morning, Lord, we just receive this infilling this morning. We receive this infilling. Just breathe in. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to ask Him to fill us with His knowledge. Lord, we ask You to fill us with Your knowledge and Your wisdom. Lord, we need this in this day and hour we're in. Lord, open up our minds to receive of the Word and the Spirit of the Word. That's it. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Word. The Spirit of the Lord of knowledge. And the Spirit of the Lord. The seven spirits of God. The Spirit of the Word of knowledge. It's not just a word. All knowledge, He says. Lord, we receive knowledge. All knowledge, Lord. Well, receive in. Take it in. Just take it in. Just take it in. Open your mouth and breathe it in. So simple, we make it all so hard. Breathe in the Spirit. Breathe in the knowledge. Breathe in wisdom. Lord, we've asked You for it. We believe. By faith, we believe He's given it to us this morning, that we're going to leave this service with a new understanding of the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord. Lord, we ask You to give us hope. Hope. Lord, we need hope. Today. Lord, are you saying it? Lord, we need hope? Let's ask Him. Lord, we need hope. Hope in Thee. Lord, we receive hope this morning. Lord, we receive hope this morning. Yes, we receive. Let that fire begin to burn within you. How many here do not have a clearer tongue that you'd like to receive a clearer tongue in the Spirit? How many here would like to receive? All right, come on up, Eunice. Come on, anybody else that wants to have a more of a measure of the Spirit than they've ever had before? Joanna, okay. She's got a tremendous Spirit of the Lord upon her to play the violin, but she wants now the Spirit of... have you ever received some of the tongues? Okay. Who else? Anybody else? Islands, everybody here free and happy with the language. You know, every time your language changes, you'll notice as you grow in God, when your language changes, that means you're on a new plateau with the Lord. And if you're still saying blah, blah, blah since you received the Holy Spirit and you haven't come any further, then you need to come up here because you need to grow in the knowledge of the Spirit. And you need to grow with a new tongue. He keeps giving divers of tongues. We get more and more tongues. Okay, I want a couple people to come up and stand behind these girls. Dottie, will you come up? And who else wants to volunteer? Come up and stand. We're going to... Okay, come on up, Luella. All the way from Nebraska. Now, I'll tell you one of the main reasons, and I'm trying not to do what I promised Patty I wasn't going to do, and she said I probably would. One of the reasons that you don't have fluency in tongues is because of the occult. Somewhere back in your family line, you have some way been involved with the occult. So I want you to say, I denounce the occult in my bloodline, in my heritage, for four generations back. Every time they've ever delved into it or been inquisitive about the future, I want to denounce all that, Lord. And I ask You to forgive me and cleanse me from all these things connected with the occult, with fortune-telling, Ouija boards, reading Edgar Casey books, or desiring knowledge from the evil one. I ask You to forgive me and cleanse me by the precious blood. And I denounce all occult, and I want all of it to go. I command Satan to go in the name of Jesus and leave me. Okay, now just breathe in the Holy Spirit now. Yeah, we're gonna lay hands on. Walk up here a little closer, Joanne. We're going to lay hands on you and apply the power of the Holy Ghost. And you look right at Jesus. Just get your mind on Jesus, not on us. And we're just going to allow the Holy Spirit now just to flow in out of us. And Luella, let's do one at a time, Luella. Let's do her first. Okay, you want to lay hands over here on her? She's a real good receiver because it's already starting to pour in. I can feel it pouring in. Just begin receiving, Joanna. Begin receiving. Begin receiving. The Lord's poured it down upon you. He wants to give you a greater measure of the Spirit than you've ever known before. Open your mouth and speak louder. You can talk loud when you want to. Louder. Louder in the name of Jesus. I command the Holy Spirit to just inundate her. Flood her, Lord. Flood her, Lord. Flood her, Lord, with the joy of the Lord. Flood her, Lord, with the knowledge of the Lord. Fill her, Lord Jesus, with all knowledge and all wisdom, Lord. Grandela Bakusandela Bandoria, Candela Basandela Bandoria, Kunavia Masandela Bandoria, Candela Bak. Don't try to talk in English. Don't choose to talk in English. Choose to. That's right. Louder. Louder. Coming upon you. Louder. Louder.
When you first hear yourself pray in tongues, your mind. The enemy doesn't like it, and your mind doesn't like it because we don't like to say anything that we're not in control of. See? Yeah, foolish. Well, we are fools for Christ, the Bible says. Now we're going to pray for Eunice. Praise the Lord.
The more verbal you are, I can talk real soft.
Or I can talk real loud, and when I'm yelling at Glenn, I can really talk loud. And I'm sure that you can get a little up in your voice, see? Because the devil doesn't want you. He likes you to be real quiet about this, and we're going to be real noisy about this. Okay? All right. We apply the power of the Holy Spirit now. Lord, just pour in, Lord. Pour in, Eunice. Pour in the Eunice. Pour in, Lord. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Because open your mouth and get a pray in tongues. Louder. See that?
That's not what I came up here with.
Oh, yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord just flooded her soul. Now, let's start again. Let's pray some more.
Liveth in me.
Praise God.
Thank you.
All the way to New Mexico, isn't it? Are you? Yeah, she's over the border from El Paso to New Mexico. Bless her. She come all this way, and she didn't come up here like that, she said. Well, is anybody else? Is there anybody? We've got 5 minutes. Who wants to jump in while the anointing is here? Anybody else? Everybody satisfied? Oh, dear Lord. We'll have to teach on... We have to deliver being satisfied. None of us should be satisfied. We should keep seeking for more and more of the Lord. Well, Glenn, you can come up and... Linda can come up. And let's sing Be Filled with the Spirit, Linda. I think that would be... Kay, yeah, come on, Kay. Kay just arrived from New Jersey last night.
We want to teach you also that verse, or those verses in Psalms. Okay, be filled with the Spirit.
Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, sing it and make it
I thank the Lord for the blood, and I hope that everybody else does. Amen. Because it's because of the blood that we're here today. If it weren't for the blood of Jesus or Calvary, there wouldn't any of us even desire to praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your presence and your anointing and for your word. We hide it in our hearts that we sin not against thee, and we're able to say that it is written and to use your word as a defense in the hour of need. We thank you for it. And Father, I thank you for the food that's prepared. Make it health and strength to us. Thank you for your blessings and presence in these meetings these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.